The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on the 30th of May, 2022. And tonight, I want to wish you all a blessed Memorial Day. And we have with us tonight, of course, our producer tonight is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And it's fitting tonight that we have that old patriot, Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening, and pleasure to be with you this night. Your highly unpaid professional assistant is ready to go to work.
Well, we have a whole lot to do to get through tonight, so let's get on it. And the title of the message tonight is In Memory of Better Days and Those Who Made Them Better. In Memory of Better Days and Those Who Made Them Better. We're going to start Nehemiah chapter 4. Joe, read verses 1 through 4 and then stop.
All right. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity.
Okay, now here, Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, and that region, Joe, of North Judea, where Jerusalem was located. Sanballat hoped to become governor of all Judea as well, but Nehemiah's arrival spoiled his plans. In fact, if you go over to Nehemiah 2 and verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And here's the problem. This man came with the full authority of the king. And so here, a rebelled Jerusalem was a threat to the authority of the Samaritan officials who had been in charge of the land since Judah's exile. Now, this was the third time, Joe, that a group returned from exile, and the increasing number of people in Jerusalem made Sanballat and Tobiah angry. They did not want to return exiles taking control of the land and threatening their secure position. So here...
And that phrase, welfare of the children of Israel, that's kind of unusual because very few leaders are concerned with the welfare of their actual citizens. They're concerned with their own power and control and wealth.
Almost 300 years before Nehemiah's time, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered, and most of the people were carried away captive in 727 B.C. Now, Sargon of Assyria repopulated Israel with captives from all these other lands. You know, they were called illegal aliens, Joe. Now, these captives eventually intermarried with a few Israelites who remained in the land and to form a mixed race of people who became known as Samaritans. Those who returned to Jerusalem and southern region of Judah during the days of Ezra and Nehemiah would have nothing at all to do with those people because they were racially impure. Relations between those people kept getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And about 400 years later, the Jews and the Samaritans, they literally hated each other. Joe, turn to John chapter 4 and read verse 9.
John 4, verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, him being Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Okay, so here she's telling you, and of course that's a whole other message over there, that, and this is where you get the story from the Good Samaritan that the Lord Jesus was making a point, because these people often thought they were better than anyone else. They thought their righteousness came from their bloodline. Now here,
right, not from their soul, but from what their birth was.
And also, you had the same thing with the Herodians. Herodians were half-breed Jews too. And so now, here, when you go back to verse 4, and by the way, here, when we look at Tobiah, the Ammonite, and Tobias, and these people were, they were like today, like the dirty cops of today. They would be compared to Merrick Garland, the people in the FBI and
former
so on.
I can't think of his name, the former head of the FBI that, had a senior moment.
Well, the one that's there now is not any better.
No.
Ray. Yeah.
But the one before him, I can't
Chris Ray.
His name.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. The 6 foot
tall
eight.
Fella. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're dirty. They were dirty cops. And he says, now, listen, hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn the reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity and cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now, here, that is an imprecatory prayer.
It sure is, and it jumps from Tobiah to Nehemiah, but it's not really clear to a lot of people what happened between 3 and 4. Verse 4, Nehemiah's praying.
Well, it's because what they tried to do, they tried to intimidate them. Remember what was just passed, or they tried to pass Biden a law stating anyone who speaks out against the kill shots, anyone who speaks out against abortion, anyone who speaks out are going to be charged with hate crimes. This is what
crimes, right.
Joe Obama is an extremely wicked, evil criminal. He is an extremely wicked, evil criminal. Extremely. And the pastors should be preaching this, and the decent people in the media should tell the truth. Like John the Baptist when he talked about Herod, okay? Like the Lord Jesus when he went after the Pharisees, like the Apostle Paul.
Viper, he called them names right to their face.
Like Peter, right. And so when they went after these people, they need to expose and call them, the way it was. But today, there's such a dearth of courage, such a dearth of courage from the pulpit. And so he goes on to say, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof for the people, had a mind to work. So go ahead and read verse 6 all the way down through 12.
Well, 7. You just read 6. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and Artaxerxes, the king, that is, 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days stores of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people.
And you, where did you leave off there?
I left off of verse 19.
Okay, that's what I thought. You got a little ahead. I was looking at...
I turned a page.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you weren't with me. Go back to verse...
The page is stuck, and I... good grief, what did I... That's a... Okay.
Start back at verse 7 and read it all the way through 12.
Yeah. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.
Okay, now, here when it says we will come from within them, that's parasitical. That right. means to infiltrate from within. Give us some of examples of how that is taking place in America today and how that took place.
Well, the corruption, the deep state, our nation started becoming corrupt long, long ago when leaders started wanting money and power and realized that was the place to procure it. And make a long story short, we now have this deep state, a government that is totally different from what the founders envisioned. And the deep state promotes its own ends and its own people, takes care of itself, and continues the corruption.
So when we take a look at that, we see the public school system infiltrated, destroyed. We see the institutions. Well, it started out, and we'll take a look at that.
We had Fabian socialists get into the Columbia University Teachers College way back in the 30s and 40s. In fact, it was a Fabian socialist that was in charge and told them they had to quit trusting in God, had to start relying on man and our logic and our wisdom to do things. And this is how they changed education from within.
Okay, so start there in 13 and read it all the way through the end of 23.
Okay. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard it, that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the harbingers. And the rulers were behind all of the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that were laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard unto us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing.
Okay, Joseph, here now, he's talking about he set in the lower place behind the wall, in the higher places, even I said the people, after their families, George, Joe, with the swords, with the spears, and with their bows. Now, here, what happens when you take, for example, I remember as a young man in a neighborhood, we lived in a neighborhood where houses were fairly close together. And if there was an emergency or something at one house, and we would see it, maybe a fire, maybe the garage or something caught on fire, the entire family, everybody, all the families would rush together to put out that one. And so right. What happens is the idea, what Nehemiah knew, that this would unite. It would unite the people very, very closely. Families unite people, okay? This is why the opposition wants to destroy, so dependent upon, you know, determined to destroy our families and cut off our communication. And so here,
the family is God's basic unit of government.
Right. So now when the opposition out there found out, hey, guess what, they're onto us. Like what's happening, say, right now with the school boards. The school boards are starting to figure out the people are on to them. And we've had situations here, even in Ohio, in other places, where now they've agreed to, and in Florida too, to rewrite the textbooks, to take all of the falsehoods, the lies, out of the textbook. The textbooks have to be approved, okay, by the state, by the governor's office, as truthful. They have to be truthful there. And I think they're working on that in Virginia. Here also in Ohio, where you got the critical race theory and all of this. This is absolute antichrist communist lies from the left.
Right.
And so what happens is this is what you're seeing, the parents. And if you go to these meetings with the school board, I've been to several of them. Boy, the parents get out there. They get to know each other. They didn't know each other. They know each other now. When the trumpet is sounded,
together and form political union and put people up for a vote. Vote the old progressive liberals out and put in somebody with morals and values in their place. And
okay, so now he says that you know they stood with their sword by their side. So while they're working, you know, with one hand, the other hand's got a sword on them. So they're prepared. In other words, they're awake. They know what's happening. Now, how does that apply? What did Jefferson say about, what's the Constitution say, if a country becomes so corrupted, when it becomes so corrupt that it is no longer in step with our Constitution, it violates everything, what time is it? It's time to do something. What is that?
It's time for a revolution.
It's time for a new government. It's time to tear down. So what we have now has become so totally and completely illegitimate. We don't recognize it. We recognize no legitimacy at all, because there is no legitimacy. The FBI has been totally corrupted, the Justice Department corrupted, the CIA, the so-called National Education, the White House especially. They have lost all legitimacy. They've become a bastard government, form of government. And so we are instructed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but by something even more, much more authoritative than those two, to rebuild and start a new government. What is that?
God.
God's word, the Bible here, huh?
That's right. James Iredell was a member of the first Supreme Court. The only real security of liberty in any country is the jealousy and circumspection of the people themselves. Let them be watchful over their rulers. Should they find a combination against their liberties and all other methods appear insufficient to preserve them, they have, thank God, a remedy, ultimate remedy. The power which created the government can destroy it. Should the government on trial be found to want amendments, amendments could be made in a regular method and mode prescribed by the Constitution. We have this security in addition to the natural watchfulness of the people, which I hope will never be found wanting. Well, we're wanting today. We had lost a lot of that watchfulness, didn't we?
Yeah. Now, Joe, he says this, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Okay, so Nehemiah kept the trumpeter by him. Now, there was a good reason that he did that, no matter where he was. When he sounded a trumpet, it would be two trumpets would mean one thing. Three blows would mean another. It would mean come here or go there, okay? And the people would know. The enemy would not know, but the people would know.
People would know exactly what the orders were.
So that was a way of communicating with the people. And how would that apply to us today here in America?
We have the pastors should be the ones who are the watchmen on the wall, who give the warnings, who warn the people what's happening when their freedoms are being taken, the chains of slavery locked upon them. And we do have Christian talk radio.
All right, so today, this radio program here. Okay, I heard tonight, I watched on Waters World with Jesse Waters. And I was amazed that he did something. He talked about the five crime families, the five American crime families here, and he called them the crime families. He was talking about the Biden crime cartel, the Pelosi crime cartel, the Schumer crime cartel, the Clinton crime cartel, and the Kerry. And he actually showed you what we've been talking about for years, Joe. But nobody was going in and focusing in on, you know, just their criminal activity. But we told you about that. We were telling you about Chucky Schumer, you know, when he has his family working for the different media, Facebook and others.
Sure, and all that, yeah.
Right, so he holds up legislation. We see they have insider to the Pelosi's with insider trading.
Pelosi's husband made millions and millions and millions of dollars with insider trading.
Every kind of criminal activity you can imagine, you found the Clintons. The Clintons were involved in every kind of crime. I mean, from murder, prostitution, pedophilia, selling uranium to our enemies. If it's a crime, ripping off those people down where you, senior moment. You know where I'm talking about, where they had the big, big hurricane came through, that very poor, poor, poor nation.
The island, yeah.
Haiti. It was Haiti, yeah.
Haiti.
They joined with the Bushes and ripped those people off. I mean, big time. And so So here now, but we told people we were on top of this stuff for years, on top of it for years. And so, but we were in, I don't know, I know others out there had did a lot of good stuff, but we were the ones, the only ones that I truly knew of that went into depth at showing you the different crimes they were involved in. Even like right now today, you've got Biden. Right now, Biden has seized his control over domestic food materials using Korean War-era emergency powers. And I'll talk about this later. Another, what this guy is doing, it's criminal. But we're going to be back right after this with more.
Order and, he's trying to become a ruler. But one thing, too, not only did they talk about the crime families, Tucker Carlson had her tapes of Herbert Marcuse and the cultural Marxist out in California, University of Berkeley, talking about how Marcuse, we were the first people on radio to talk about cultural Marxism, explain about the school, the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany. We were the first ones who went nationwide telling that story, and it was on TV the other night with clips and talking about how Angela Davis was one of the first real good, bright students from Herbert Marcuse and leading the Black Panther. She was a communist, a revolutionary.
And a murderer.
And a murderer, stuff that we've been...
And we only did that 50 years ago.
TV. This is weird.
We've been talking about that for 50 years, okay? And so, anyhow, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
If I could send a simple message to our troops at home and far away, I would make one small promise. Hear me now, this is what I'd say. You are forever heroes. We won't forget you. We know the sacrifice you've made. Forever heroes. God bless and keep you. You're the you in the USA. Share pride and pain with you. You are like stars, shine on forever, forever red and white and blue. You are forever.
heroes. And Joe, now, I've got some commentary, Joe, so it's going to take a little while. You're going to just have to sit and let me get through this, okay?
All right.
Okay. As I sat down to write this sermon, my eyes focused on a photo of three ragtag young boys. The pictures was taken around 1954. The three boys were my younger brother Ray, my cousin Wayne, and myself. By today's standards, we would have been living below the poverty line. With eight children at one home, there were no fear of being spoiled by material goods at all, not a bit. Now, we never owned more than one pair of shoes or at any one time, or never had more than one coat at any one time. And I would dare say that my little grandson today, at the age of five, has more toys, more clothes, than all of my eight siblings in our house combined during our entire childhood. In fact, here at my house, you've got a room filled with that little fellow's clothes and toys, and next door in my son's house, the same, and then his other grandparents, the same. But again, even though that was the case, we did have a roof over our head. We did have clothes on our back and shoes on our feet, and we were happy. And here, it was because back in those days that we had a house and even had a fairly new car in the driveway that we were considered middle class, and as the entire neighborhood was considered middle class. And guess what? Housing was booming all over the place. Today in America, in fact, foreclosures are up 181%, and housing starts are down almost 13%, okay? But things were so much better in such a way. Now, here with my two parents, that was 10 people in a very small house, and a small house with one bathroom. Now, folks, when you have four women in the house, you know, they come up with this term you may have heard of called woodsmen. And these women try to convince those boys that bathrooms were only for women, that the woods were for the men. And so here, us boys, we got used to a lot of that because those women kind of just took the bathrooms over. But we got through it, okay? We got through it. And here, there were better days in so many ways back in those days. Now, in those days, anyone that was spewing the lunacy of gender identity and transgender wokeness, well, they would have been in danger of being committed to a mental institute. These God-hating Democrats of today are both mentally and physically abusing children by pushing their transgender LGBTQ. If we had a legitimate government, if we actually had a legitimate government today, a legitimate DOJ, they would be charged with child abuse and sexual abuse. But we don't have a legitimate government. In fact, the entire Democratic Party, is seizing with pedophiles. We were so blessed back in those days not to have smart aleck cell phones. We were aware of our surroundings. We walked around outside. You could see things we weren't looking at. We were looking at all around our surroundings. We communicated with each other verbally. I remember sitting at the dinner table, and we spoke to one another. The kids all talked to each other, and the parents. And what happened was we would converse on what was happening in all of our own little private worlds. And today today they're like cyborgs carrying our mind control implants in our hands. We're at constantly being monitored by artificial intelligence, while the simple-minded think that that's the way it's supposed to be. Life was so much better in so many ways. The country believed in God. The parents loved their children. Abortion was considered a murder in all 50 states. Drag queens went to jail. The children knew who their fathers were, and they had respect for their parents. We boys had respect for our girls and our sisters, and we watched our language around them. I remember how often when boys would get together, especially those 10 to 11, 12-year-old, and they had learned a new word, and they would try to impress each other when no one was listening by using these words. But we were taught when girl come by, you didn't use that kind of language because we had respect for girls. Back in those days, when a girl went to the beach, she didn't go naked. She didn't uncover her whole rear end. I mean, they had to wear a bathing suit if they had, back in those days, if they had gone out and exposed themselves and were flashers, they'd have been arrested. But listen to this. In those days, and I remember very clearly, pastors feared God more than the government. That's right. Pastors feared God more than the government. They would preach against the sin of abortion, against the sin of sodomy and pedophilia. Even the Democrats were against communism. I met JFK when I was a young man. I was in one of those little model-type airplanes in a small airport right there in Lost Nation, Ohio. And it was just the two of us, myself and my friend Bob. His dad owned the airport or managed the airport. And we were in there in the simulator. It was a simulator. When all of a sudden the doors burst open. Now, I'm 10 years old. And here they come in. And you've got all these people and they got these cameras with these big flash bulbs. A guy points at me in that simulator and says, points over and said, "Photo op, photo op." He shouts this out. And I thought, I'm not a photo op. What's a photo op? Okay. And so they all come marching over. So here they go, and JFK's got his arm around my shoulder. And they said, "Look at this way, son, look at this way." And we're looking, and they're taking the pictures. And then they said to me, "Do you know who this man is?" I said, "No." They said, "He's going to be your next president. Are you going to vote for him?" Now, you're 10 years old. You're surrounded by a group of adult men.
Right.
And this big fella's got his hand on your shoulder. What are you going to say, no?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. So, anyhow, I said, yeah, I'll vote for him. Never mind, I wasn't old enough to vote, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so here, but listen, I remember the time when even the Republican Party leadership had some backbone. I'm not kidding you. There were some in there that had some backbone, some spine, that actually would go on the offensive and not just sit back and talk and let the Democrats push them around. America was the envy of the entire world. She was great because she was good. She was one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Now, we seasoned citizens, and that means we old-timers here, often sat and we recollected the days and the nights when we slept with our windows open and our doors unlocked. We knew who our neighbors were. We kept an eye on each other's property when things were away and if strangers came around. America was good, but we were infiltrated from within by a parasitical enemy. It started within the church. That's right. I remember back in the 1960s, the Antichrist teachings of Karl Marx were combined with the teachings of Jürgen Moltmann and Ernst Bloch. Now, Moltmann was the professor, the dean of religion, and Ernest Bloch was the dean of Marxism at Tübingen University. Now here, these two got together, and they had decided that Christianity and Marxism were compatible. Not only were they compatible, but they were literally one of the same. And that's where Moltmann had written his book, Theology of Hope. Now, Joe, here's what they based it on. They based it on that, well, Jesus said to feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, visit those that are sick and in prison. And Marx said to the proletariat that you should feed the hungry, and the proletariat should house the homeless and take care of those in need. But there was a difference, you see. Marx taught that it was all right. It was ethical, in fact necessary, to go and take from the bourgeoisie, the wealthy, because if they were wealthy, they earned it off the backs of the proletariat. So it was ethical to go and kill these people and take their property and have a transfer of wealth. It's kind of like what Obama teaches, huh? They're going to transfer the wealth from those that earned it to those that deserve it. Sure. And those were his words. I remember hearing him say that. And so there's a whole big difference between Christ and Marx. In fact, Marx was an antichrist. He was a Satanist. Karl Marx was a practicing Satanist. But again, this is what came out, and this stuff started hitting the seminaries. And so here, I remember starting each day back in the public schools, back in the mid-50s, with prayer. Amen. But even then, and in fact, we would do it in the morning. You would come in, and there would be a prayer over the loudspeaker, and then you'd go to your homeroom class, and then each class, the teacher would lead in prayer. The teacher would lead in prayer. The teacher led in prayer. And here now...
And then we'd have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yep. But even then, the communist parasites were hard at work putting their Antichrist propaganda in the textbooks. I remember Nikita Khrushchev beating the podium with his shoe, and he was saying, "We will conquer you from within. We will rise your youth. We will give you dose after dose after dose of socialism until the day that you awaken to find out that you are communist." Now, in those days, he was referring to Jane Fonda. He was referring to John Kerry. He was referring to Bill and Hillary Clinton. He was referring to Joe Biden. These were the ones that he was referring to in those days. These were young at that time, but they were raising him up. And so what was once the Democratic Party is gone. There is no longer a Democratic Party. It's a Democratic Communist Party. There is communist is Joseph Stalin. There is communist Karl Marx. And so here it has been totally and completely. Look, if somebody tells me they're a Democrat, I'll tell them, "You just told me, here's what you just told me. You just told me you're a registered Democrat. You just told me you're a communist. You just told me that you hate God. What you just told me is more than likely you're, if you're not a homosexual, you believe in that, or you have no problem with pedophilia. You've said that, and by the way, when you say that, like Jolas Blowhart and Whoopi Cushion, you're telling me that you're very vulgar and your women are unclean, because that's the entire platform of the Democratic Communist Party. So show me one woman, okay, within the Democratic Communist Party and leadership that is not pro-death, that is not according to God's Word of the Bible, Romans chapter 1, continuing in their uncleanness. Show me one who's, as Jeremiah 2:34, whose skirts are not filled with the blood of the innocent. Show me one man who's not like Chuckie Schumer or Bill Clinton or Joey Biden, who's not completely corrupted. Completely corrupted. And so, or, by the way, Jerry Nadler. By the way, Jerry Nadler says God's got no voice in Congress. Jerry Nadler, you are in for an extremely rude awakening. By the way, Jerry Nadler, God's word, the Bible, says that sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. Jerry Nadler, God's word, the Bible, God has said that sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. And so here, from Afghanistan to Iraq to Vietnam, to Korea, to World War II, to World War I, to the Civil War, to the War of 1812, to the Revolutionary War, the American soldier and the American patriots have kept their integrity and kept our dream of freedom and liberty alive. And we are ready. Right now, there's a whole lot of us. We're ready to do it again. Now, this is from Ronald Reagan. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States, where men were free. Joe, you've got a quote by Ronald Reagan too, don't you?
I've got a couple here. He was talking, he said, I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence, remembers those who were loved, and who in return loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Wow, some powerful words, right?
Absolutely.
He added to that, he said, yet we must try to honor them, not for their sake alone, but for our own sake. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions we must strive to keep faith with them and with the vision that led them to battle and final sacrifice. And I remember him talking about what a wonder and mystery it was, Pastor Ernie, that he said so many Americans were willing to give their lives so that the people of America could be free.
Well, Joe, there's still a lot of that spirit right here with us in America today. And again, I'm hearing from more and more people asking me, well, how are we going to do it? How do we start? In other words, again, we're required now to replace this government has gone completely and totally corrupted. And where do you start? Well, you start locally. You start from where you're at, your ground, what you can control. And that is starting to happen more and more. Now,
you take back your school boards. You take back your communities, your counties. You start with your little towns and cities and counties. You take back, you get involved, and you start. We had to be a people who were what? Capable of self-government. And that's what happened, Pastor Ernie. We long since left the government up to other people. We forgot that we were to conduct ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. We were to sustain ourselves, govern ourselves, control ourselves, sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And we would only need a very limited small government if we were to live that way.
Well, you're right. And what we did is, you know, first of all, I didn't run for office. They tried to get me to run for Congress several times. People wanted me to run for Congress. But the thing of it is, I realized that I could help a lot more people, qualified people, on the radio. I could help those. This is why we've had the people from around the country on time and time again on the radio, the best people, because they're not going to get a shot. They're not going to get coverage in none of the fake news media. We have to realize, and it's a very important thing to realize, too, because a lot of people don't. And see, the pastors don't have the courage. The pastors don't have the courage to tell you. See, Joe, I'm an American. You're an American. First, we're Christians first, and then we're American. Now, what I'm talking about is absolute reality. This is reality. Now, because of that, because we're Christians and American patriots, our enemy is the entire Democratic Communist Party. Joe Biden is our enemy. Joe Biden wants to take away my freedom.
They're not the loyal opposition anymore. They are the enemy within.
Chuckie Schumer is the enemy. Chuckie Schumer wants to take away my freedom. Merrick Garland is my enemy. Merrick Garland wants to take away my freedoms. Christopher Wray, these people, that have gone and they've so corrupted the institutions that once were divine institutions, like the FBI, where people could hold their head up. And there was a time, and I had friends that would hold their head up, and I belong to the FBI, and they knew their job, and their job was not dirty, okay? But that's all been corrupted, and you've seen the corruption just really take off during when Obamanation was in office. This guy was so corrupt, the Dark Prince. You saw that happening. So you have to realize, first of all, that these people are not your friends, that they are the enemy, okay? I'm not telling you to hate them. What I'm telling you that you have to recognize who your enemy is, okay?
Right.
And so, and the pastors, very few have the courage. They know that, but they're afraid.
You stand against them. You can't cooperate with them. You cannot give in to them, but you must stand fast against them. In fact, years ago, there was a historian, Robert Conquest. He wrote a book, The New Criterion. Now, Pastor, I don't know how many times in the past 30 years I've said this, but the enemy always tells us what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. They've done this forever. And here's what he had to say about communism. He said, a communist once told me his method. First, you explain to a Christian sympathizer that communism is compatible with Christianity. You just talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That accomplished.
Yep.
You explain later that Christianity, though, is not compatible with communism. First, we are told that Christian morality requires us to adopt this liberal program, and then when the liberal program regime is entrenched, we are then told that it excludes Christian morality. They came out and said it. The communists told this historian, this is the method. First, they say this Christianity and communism are all compatible. And then when people started to believe it, then they kind of play the bait and switch.
Joe, we're coming up to a break, so hang on there. We're coming up to a break.
A lot more to come.
Yep, we do have a whole lot more to come. So when we do come back, we're going to come back with another with a song for this Memorial Day, and then we have a lot more to come. So don't go away. More to come. Be back right after this. Here we go. Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.